Well, again, thank you all for showing up to this end of the day session. I hope it will be as exciting as you would like it to be. So I'm Summer Kriegshauser, a project manager at AASA, the School Superintendents Association, and I'm going to be talking to you today about competitive food initiatives in rural school districts. I have nothing to disclose. So I'd like to start out talking a little bit about the background about AASA, what we do with school districts around the nation, and the initiative that we work on. Then we'll move on to the current landscape with competitive foods across the nation and focus in on what's going on around the Smart Snacks in Schools guidelines. And then we'll zero in on what's going on in rural districts in terms of competitive foods and Smart Snacks in Schools. So AASA is a membership organization for school administrators, and we're on a national level, and the bulk of our membership lies within the superintendency. So those are the people that we deal with in terms of our initiative. So we come in at the district level. In 2012, we got a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and Leadership for Healthy Communities to really develop strong relationships with superintendents around competitive foods. And if you're not familiar with what competitive foods are, those are any foods and beverages that are sold in the school during the school day that are in competition with the federally reimbursed breakfast or lunch program. So examples would be the foods in vending machines or school stores, things like that. So we created our Healthy Snacks and Beverages Policy Initiative because competitive foods, nobody knows what that is, so it's easier for people to know what we're talking about. And within that, we created our Peer-to-Peer Innovation Network. And essentially, this is a network of superintendents that have joined this initiative. So it's superintendents all across the nation, from small districts to large districts. And it's really a great tool for superintendents because they have a chance to hear what other superintendents are doing in their districts. Not only that, it's the superintendents and their team. So it's wellness directors, it's PE teachers sometimes, it's the people that are involved with nutrition. So that's a great way to help superintendents in terms of collaborating on challenges and sharing best practices. Within that, we have our mentor and mentee relationships, where we take it a step further and we take a superintendent in a district who has already been successful in creating a really good wellness policy in their district around school food. They've gone through all the rigor with creating parent buy-in and student buy-in, and we combine them with a district, or we pair them up with a district that is ready to do that, but they haven't quite made the steps yet, and maybe they need a little bit of guidance. So that pairing is another powerful tool for superintendents to move wellness forward in their districts. So now we come to Smart Snacks in School, because those guidelines were published June 27th, 2013. They were supposed to be implemented July 1st of this year, and that created a new mandate for the foods and beverages, the competitive foods, that are in schools. So that means new sodium requirements, fat requirements, sugar requirements, and caloric requirements in order to even be in the school during the school day. So that's a la carte in the cafeteria, that affects foods in school stores, snack bars, vending machines, and various other venues, and even fundraising that has to be done during the school day, it affects those foods as well. So because of the Smart Snacks in School, that slightly changed the focus of our initiative. Our initiative started in 2012, and so we wanted to bring superintendents on board that really just wanted to improve their wellness policies and were really interested in getting the junk food out of schools. But when the Smart Snacks came into play, and this, you know, federal mandate required them to change, we took it as, let us help you. Let us give you technical assistance. Let us connect you with districts that have already done this. So we were successful with bringing many more superintendents on board than we had before. So our current landscape, we have 28 superintendents and their teams on board with our Healthy School Snacks and Beverages Policy Initiative. So that includes 28 amazing food service directors, wellness coordinators, PE teachers, et cetera. We cover 19 states in this initiative, and we have districts really that run the gamut. We have districts that have 300 students in their total enrollment to over 400,000. So it gives us a great opportunity to work with a handful of districts with that are very diverse. Now, 13 of those districts do identify as rural. The alternatives would be suburban or urban. And there's specific challenges for rural districts that suburban and urban districts don't necessarily have. One of those is a lack of personnel. Rural districts don't necessarily have the staffing pool to choose from, and they also don't, they might be short-staffed, and so one staff member might be tasked with many things to do. For instance, we have a superintendent in Wisconsin that sometimes he serves as the bus driver, and sometimes he goes to Costco and picks up the snacks that are in the vending machines. So, you know, it makes a difference when, you know, somebody isn't necessarily trained in maybe wellness, but they get tasked with that because there just isn't other staffing available. Another challenge is just vending machine products and the lack of power to work with snack manufacturers and beverage manufacturers. So the bottom line for product manufacturers is really to get a profit. And if they have a choice to go into a large urban district or a large suburban district where they know more students are going to purchase their products, they're going to do that. And so rural districts just have a lack of power in that sense. They don't necessarily have the enrollment to attract vendors, and they don't have the negotiating power to get the kind of products that they necessarily want. In fact, many of the large urban districts in the nation, this is Chicago Public Schools, New York City, Miami, Houston, they have all banded together to form the Urban School Food Alliance, and that gives them a tremendous amount of power in terms of negotiating with beverage companies and snack companies, not only in the pricings, but in what kind of products are being made and making sure that these companies create products that are smart snack compliant. And then another challenge for rural districts is funding opportunities. So, and I'm specifically referring to grant funding. The same way with beverage companies and snack companies that want to, you know, make the most of their buck, sometimes vendors want to go into schools that have large enrollments so that they can affect more students. And small districts just don't have, they just can't compete with that. So they might not be getting the same sort of wellness funding through grants as larger districts. But there are opportunities. There's a silver lining. And one of those we found is our organization, AASA. We are here to support superintendents, and whether they're, you know, rural or urban districts. And we provide superintendents and districts with technical assistance in every way we can to help them implement the Smart Snacks in Schools guidelines. And if they want to, go above and beyond that and really tweak their local wellness policies to suit them and be even more stringent. We have the Peer-to-Peer Innovation Network, which is a huge connecting tool for superintendents. And superintendents, we often hear, they talk about how lonely the superintendency is. And so our Peer-to-Peer Innovation Network really gives them a chance to connect with other superintendents who are in the same position that they are and share information. Not only share their best practices, but share their own personal challenges and how to overcome that. So like I stated earlier, we have 13 rural districts in this initiative, so that gives many districts. So if I'm one rural district, I have 12 other rural districts to talk to see how they're creating parent buy-in, where they're getting the vending machine products, you know, how they're dealing with pricing and the financial elements of bringing in the smart snacks, and then also talking to even the suburban and the urban districts. You know, our initiative, we focus on competitive foods, but we're looking at the bigger element of obesity prevention and chronic disease prevention starting in schools. And so obesity is not unique to rural districts. And so speaking to or creating that network between rural and urban and suburban, all districts have something to share. in how they're getting kids on board with the new food, how they're getting staff buy-in, and how they're dealing with parents. So that's another really good resource for rural districts. And then there's the change in the food landscape. So yes, there's this federal mandate that has come down, the Smart Snacks in Schools guidelines, but cities are getting on board with changing their vending machine products as well and changing what is out there for the public to eat. So even though, like I was saying before, rural districts don't necessarily have the power in terms of snack and beverage companies, they can reap the benefits of those urban districts negotiating with snack and beverage companies and also cities doing this work. So it's a way for rural districts to really take advantage of the change in the food landscape. So I want to highlight some success stories because we work with some really amazing districts that have really strong leadership at the superintendency and have really passionate food service directors. And through creativity and effective communication, we're really proud to highlight what's going on in districts around the nation. So I'd like to start with the Monette School District in Monette, Missouri. And so I talked about how the Smart Snacks in School guidelines not only affect the vending machines and what's in school stores, but they also affect the fundraising that's going on. And Monette has the leadership of Superintendent Brad Hansen, and they decided when the Smart Snacks came in that they were not only going to do healthy fundraising during the day, during the school hours, like they were required, but they were going to do healthy fundraising from here on out. And so they do 5Ks in their district that are very successful. They have a Family Fun Fest, which is a fall carnival that has games, booths, tents, hay bales, pumpkins, and they have it every fall, and it's a way to loop in the community and the parents to adopt this healthy lifestyle, and then the profits go to the district. So they earn roughly $3,000 to $5,000 per Family Fun Fest. Another example is Healthy Vending, and this is in the Middleton School District. This was in their high school in Middleton, Idaho, under the leadership of Superintendent Rich Boucher. And I took a picture of this product because I had never seen it before, and I thought I had seen all healthy vending because this is the work that I do. But Middleton is about 30 miles outside of Boise, and it just goes to show with enough creativity and really information. You know, the food service director does a great job of keeping up to date on what's going on in healthy vending and what products are out there. So this meets the Smart Snacks guidelines requirements. It's visually appealing to high schoolers. They have different varieties. And so it's like it's a cool updated vending machine snack as opposed to the old, you know, cheese curls or whatever. And so to find this in a rural district in Idaho is really exciting to me. So I took a picture. And then finally, effective communication. So I can speak firsthand because I grew up in a very small town in Nebraska. And in rural areas of the United States, everybody knows each other. Everybody knows what's going on with the school, or they want to. And so to get parents on board with the changes that need to be made ahead of time will really, really help with smooth implementation of any changes that are going on in the district. So I took the example from Mercer County Schools, which is Princeton, West Virginia, under the leadership of Superintendent Deb Akers. And they have a whole section on their website about the Smart Snacks in Schools, amongst other nutrition information. But they talk about why it's important, when it's going to be implemented, how it will affect their district, and the food that their kids will have access to, which is crucial. And then they give all sorts of documents to help parents get on board and maybe be healthy outside of school. So I pulled up a document. It's kind of small, you can't see, but on the top the list is fresh snacks, and then the second part of that is backpack ready snacks. So it's a way for the parents to get involved in the changes and reach into the community as well. So that concludes my presentation. I've got about 5 minutes. I'm happy to take any questions. Yes?
So you mentioned some of the barriers of being in the rural areas that were hard. With these examples and others, what was the reaction of the school, the children and the parents? Were they, I mean, they
Mm-hmm. So your question is what kind of funding results or what kind of income or has come in from the vending machine or taking away?
The reaction of like the kids and the parents from this change, like were they for it or do they upset that the other fundraisers were gone? Because some of them, they like the candy bar.
Right. So the question is, I'm repeating the question because they're recording this. So what was the reaction of the parents and the students in changing the fundraisers? You know, a lot of the superintendents say that it's hard at first. Change is hard at first, especially when you have fundraisers that you've been doing for years and years and years. Certainly when I was in school, we sold pizza and cookies for fundraisers. And so change can be tough, but over time, to show, it's important to show the success of the fundraisers. It's important to show how it's benefiting not only the kids, but the community, that kids are developing healthier habits. You know, if we're feeding kids healthy foods in schools because of the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act, then it, you know, is counterproductive to have unhealthy fundraisers at the same time where you're selling food that doesn't meet any, you know, really healthy qualities. So to show parents the bigger picture is huge for buy-in. And then physical activity is one of those things that, in terms of fundraisers, gets everyone involved. And it can be really, really exciting and fun and a way to bring together parents and children in the community. So those kind of things have been quite successful, even if there are bumps in the beginning. Yes? Yes. Well, so the question was, we cover 19 states, is there a plan to cover more? So, unfortunately, our funding for this grant ends at the end of the year, but this work is very important to us and very important to our superintendents. We survey our superintendents, and childhood obesity is a huge issue for them. So, we would like to continue this work. We just don't quite know how we're going to do it yet, but we're very hopeful. Yeah, well, our hope in creating this network is that they do stay in touch and they have become familiar enough and comfortable enough with each other and their districts that they can call on each other really any time, that they continue this network for, you know, as long as they need to, because it is really beneficial.
I'm just always happy to hear about the rural communities. So mm-hmm. often I think attention justifiably so goes to the big districts. Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you all.